We're live.
Okay, we're going to get started and call this meeting to order. This is a study session on residential parking permit foresight and public safety 2025 update. This is Monday, October 27, 2025 at 5:30. Is there any changes to the agenda? And that's the here in the regular council meeting agenda. If there are no changes to the agenda, we will move forward and then I'll turn it over to Mr. Rose.
Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson and council members, first I would ask that we try and address this echo issue that we have with the microphones, but we will continue to press on. Yeah, nope, not just to you. This first item that we have is a discussion regarding the residential parking permit on the south side of Foresight. We received a petition in excess of 2 years ago. I would ask for our city attorney, John Mulligan, to start out with just highlighting the background and so that you understand the process that it has gone through, and then I'll talk about next steps. Mr. Mulligan.
Thank you, Mayor. Pro Tem members of the council. Mr. Rose, so this residential parking permit issue goes back to at least October of 2021. Ms. Chana Novak, who's a director of the Friends of Chabad on Campus, Inc., the owner of 7018 Foresight on the south side of Del Mar, approached the traffic commission here regarding the parking situation there. And specifically, she requested inclusion in the residential parking permit system for employees of the Chabad House to park in the 7,000 block of Foresight and to change the parking restrictions to allow open parking on Fridays after 5 p.m. on Foresight there. The Traffic Commission heard that, discussed it, and advised her that she may want to pursue petition process that's in our municipal code, specifically section 355.030, which is our residential parking permit plan. So she did that, and she came back to the Traffic Commission on April 13, 2022, and sought approval to begin the petition process to include the 7,000 and 7,100 blocks of Foresight Avenue. And the Traffic Commission indicated approval. So she went to work to get the petition signed. The code requires that at least 75% of the parcels of real estate in a block that will be included in the residential parking permit plan be signed, basically requesting that. So she was able to obtain the requisite number of signatures, came before the Traffic Commission on December 13th, 2022, and made the request. There was discussion, and the Traffic Commission further discussed the matter at some meetings that followed. And specifically February 8th of that year. And also then on March 8th, the commission voted to approve the petition and recommended the council adopt an ordinance, adding the south side 7,071 blocks of Foresight in the residential parking program, and that it would be limited to residents only between 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Monday through Friday. So the council then introduced a bill doing that. That was introduced in May of 2023. Looks like specifically May 8th, bill number 9514, which is still pending. And after the bill was introduced, the council unanimously passed a motion to send that bill to the I'm sorry, the Traffic Commission to, quote, discuss the deficiencies in the system and any revisions that can be made to implement more controls that limit or differentiate between the various parking zones. So it went back to the Traffic Commission. Traffic Commission then considered it in June of that year, then the following March of 2024, February of 2025, and then in March of this year, Traffic Commission, after there was a pilot program conducted the last 3 months of 2024, voted to recommend that the residential parking permit ordinance that had been referred to it be adopted, taking into consideration, and I'm quoting, taking into consideration the challenges of multifamily use. There were no specific recommendations regarding the multifamily use, but as council may be aware, the south side of Forsyth and those two blocks is all multifamily. The north side has a number of single family residences, but not the south side. So one of the issues discussed by the Traffic Commission during the various meetings was, would this be feasible given the multifamily nature of that neighborhood? Would we have enough spaces on the street to accommodate all the potential users, the resident users, and the ordinance itself allows a resident to obtain permits for each vehicle that resident has registered to that resident, as well as two visitor passes. So that you're talking about potentially a lot of passes for not a lot of spaces on the street. So that is a challenge, and the Traffic Commission did not make any specific recommendations on that. There was further discussion internally, there was again a discussion. It was brought back to the Traffic Commission on September 9th of this year, at which time the Traffic Commission basically affirmed the decision that it made earlier this year, and so here we are.
Attorney Mulligan, thank you. So I would like to take just a few minutes to talk about next steps. I believe that the solution to this issue, which is just a lack of parking, is to create more parking. But I don't really see a viable path forward for that. So with that in mind, I think the steps that we're going to attempt to take is simply, how do we improve the situation that's there? And in order to do that, I believe that we need to do at least one study, perhaps two, to determine if the changes that we are making indeed does improve the parking situation in that area. So my intention is to move forward with a 90-day study period. During that study period, we would restrict parking. It would be on a permit basis on the south side of Forsyth in the blocks of 7,000 and 7,100. We would issue all residents a temporary pass. We would severely restrict visitor permits because of what the city attorney just highlighted. The residential passes, we believe, will total around 300 for all the residents in that area. The on-street parking is about 37. So it will be on a first-come, first-served basis. Now, keep in mind that many of those dwellings also have off-street parking. So we are going to highly encourage as many as they can to use that off-street parking to accommodate their vehicles. As a part of this, we'll need additional patrol in the area. And Chief Hampton and I have had that discussion. After the 90-day period, the intention will be to come back to the council in a study session and report what our findings are. And the purpose for this was to answer any questions that you had regarding the approach that is being taken.
Ms. Brenner.
I just have some questions about the ordinance itself and if maybe there are some tweaks that we need to consider over time. one being, well, one statement that I have to say is I don't think we have the ordinance itself says that there's no, like if they get a residential permit, there's no guarantee there is a parking space for them. So I feel like we're covered on that, whether or not, you know, there's too many cars for this parking spaces, we're covered on that one. The second piece of it is that maybe the visitor parking, the piece with the visitor parking, which is, I think it's G or is H, I'm sorry, that's H. Perhaps we need to change the wording to it. One thought I had was to make it like the property of the owner, like whoever owns the property gets the two visitor passes, like just change the wording so it says that. So for single family residences, that wouldn't be any big change, but for the apartments, then the owner would have that in their possession and they could determine how they deal with that. And I know there was also a concern, there was also a concern about the visitor passes being copied and sold. Mr. Fuller, Council Member Fuller told me about that. And I do think we could probably easily fix that by making sure visitor passes like have a UCD hologram sticker on them or something like that, where, you know, like that would be distributed to. I don't think that'd be a high cost item, but those are thoughts I had. Thank you.
Mr. Fuller.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. My only comment is, do we have two residential permit programs now going on Forsyth? One on the north side, one on the south side, correct?
Go ahead. Yeah, Mayor Pro Tem, thank you. Members of council, there is not. On the north side, the single family residential parking is permitted the 7,000 through 7,200 blocks. No residential parking restrictions exist on the south side.
Right. I'm speaking that we have with this program, though, I asked the question wrong. There is a residential parking permit on the north side that's been in existence before 2023.
That is correct.
Right.
On the north side, yes.
Right.
Okay. Anything else? I do have a couple of questions, Mr. Rose. In reference to your 90-day study period, you didn't mention, is that parking going to be restricted from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.? Is that going to be the same?
It will be permitted parking throughout the entire day.
Permitted parking throughout the entire day.
That's
okay.
correct.
Okay. All right. So does that resolve the issue with the lady that actually filed this and her business with her employees? Because will they be given permits also? Is that correct?
I don't recall if her petition actually requested. John, can you speak to that?
So, yes, Mayor Pro Tem, members of council, thank you. The initial request back in October of 2021 was to participate in a program so that employees and visitors at the Chabad House could park there. And then when she appeared before the Traffic Commission in April, she made it clear that that at the time they had four employees in the Chabad House and she was seeking one pass per employee. So that raises, of course, the question of, is an employee considered a resident within the meaning of this ordinance that allows a resident to obtain a pass? And the position of the police department, and I know the chief's here, has been not to issue parking passes or to employees. That's the current position of the police department based on the language of the code. So if a council wants to allow employees of an institution that is within a residential parking permit area to receive a pass, then I would recommend clarification of the ordinance to state that. But as it stands, if during this pilot program, and Mr. Rose certainly can address this, it's my understanding that the petition requester will not be receiving parking passes for her employees.
She would not.
That is correct. Okay. You may recall when I started out the discussion, I said there was one test period and possibly two may be needed. We need to take more incremental approach to better understanding what these changes are going to mean. And we won't be able to do that until we do this initial test period. We believe that we have a deficit in parking currently, even with the off-street parking. This test period will either confirm that or it will reflect that we don't have that deficit.
Okay. And then the other part of what I was going to ask is the real problem is that they're trying to stop the WashU employees and students from parking on that section of Forsyth. So again, my recommendation, I would actually hope that we could have the restricted parking, meaning have parking from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. with the passes. And the reason I say that is that's the critical time that the problem exists. So I think that solves the problem in reference to WashU students and employees. And then also frees up the time so that I agree with the other part that you stated that we should not have visitor passes. Because my question is, when are the visitors going to be there? I could imagine after 5 and on weekends. So I don't know if there's a real need for visitor passes in reference to this permit passing process. So that would just be my suggestion. And then I'll open the floor if anybody else has any other comments. And if that be all, is there anything else on this subject, Mr. Rose?
I just want to revisit. So the test period will be limited to residential parking permits will be required from 9 to 5. Is that consensus? Okay. And that we would not issue any visitor passes. So that addresses the concern about getting copied. Is that consensus? Okay.
9 to 5, Monday through Friday.
Yes, correct. Okay, if that be all, we can move on to the next one. Thank you.
I would ask Chief Hampton. Chief will be presenting the public safety statistics for, I believe it's 2025. So I will turn things over to Chief Hampton. Chief?
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. Like Mr. Rose just mentioned, this is an update, but this is an update leading up to the current status. So specifically 2025 is not fully calculated, but understanding where we're going from. If you can go to the next phase. We take a lot of aerial drone footage around town. Wanted to kind of highlight that in a couple of these slides that you see. Next. Some of the overcoming trends. We're all fighting for quality personnel. All public safety organizations are fighting for quality personnel. And I'm just going to approximate numbers. St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department is down at least 300 members. Now, are they vacating some of the vacant positions? Yes. As well as St. Louis County is having a budget chop for the upcoming year. They're down at least 150 personnel. And I know this from sitting on Chiefs Association boards. So we have to utilize a lot of innovative strategies to compete with the St. Louis County, the St. Louis Metropolitan, the St. Charles County, the other entities that are even larger in size and organizational strength than our municipal output. So some of the ground level recruiting that I'm mentioning, we've had focus group members. I've hired a grandchild of a focus group member that would come at least every other month, and been one of my standout officers since that hire. Literally came straight out of Southeast Missouri State University right into our force. First job after college. We just had a hiring event at Centennial Commons at the community center. It's a very impromptu show up and speed through process, meaning you're taking a written examination, a physical examination. You're also getting an interview on site. That speeds you through the professional services processes of becoming a police officer here in University City. And we know who's serious about showing up and doing that. So sowing the seed, when I mentioned sowing the seed, we're one of the largest departments that invest in placing personnel, quality personnel into public safety academies. And we're not just utilizing St. Louis County and Municipal Law Enforcement Academy. I have four recruits in Eastern Missouri Law Enforcement Academy. That's in Lake St. Louis. I currently have 1 to 2 in Jefferson Community College. We're serious about 3 candidates right now at Lincoln University, which happens to be hosted down at Harris Stowe University. And we still have 3. We started with 4. We still have 3 at St. Louis County Current Academy. So we have a lot of transitional or institutional knowledge going out the door with the early retirements and what have you within the public safety. But we're sowing the seed to get that new crop, that new group coming in, Gen Y, Gen Zs, what have you, anyone that qualifies. So we're not limited in age restrictions whatsoever. And on down the line, providing consistency for our community, developing quality UCPD employees with best practices. When I say that, University City Police Department doesn't lose a lot of personnel to other municipal police departments. We actually get plucked by federal organizations. Right now, the federal organizations that are plucking me the most are probation, parole. And I know we're in a shutdown, federal government, but specifically, they've already gotten this personnel. Postal inspectors, DEA, ATF. These are the a new Secret Service officer just placed out in California. Literally, just did 3 years here in University City. So this is where we're having to replace those personnels, and not specifically leaving us going to a neighboring muni. If you can go to the next. Understanding the problems. We make genuine attempts to connect with our stakeholders. We're very active in the community. Not only do we participate in community engagement or community events that are offered to us, but then we sponsor some of those community events, i.e. the focus group, the holiday parties, the trunk or treat recently. We participated in 3 just over this past weekend, one of those even being Normandy. And this is not taking personnel on duty here in University City. Some of these people are volunteering their time and representing the organization outside in our other communities and our surrounding communities, because we do have to have some regional collaboration, and that regional collaboration has been on the forefront for many years. So and later on you'll hear the Blue Shield program, and that's one of the components that is needed. Show us how you're having this regional collaboration. Show us how you're connecting with your neighbors. Resignations, retirements rose sharply after 2020. That is a true statement. And specifically, I'll give you an example. In the for our current pension and the police and fire pension plan, you could actually retire with a max pension of 30 years. When you have officers leaving at 28, 29, 27, that kind of tells you that, okay, and in my term, and it's only my term, I leaving money on the table, and they need to get out at that particular time. They know their situation. They know what they want to put up with. So having to replace that is what we're facing. Some officers are leaving for big city departments for smaller, less busy agencies. That is a University City is a working department. So even though I say a federal agency, some of these federal agencies are not working in law enforcement like we do here in University City, meaning the all encompassing, taking the initial call, saying, okay, I worked the robbery. I've investigated the robbery. I interviewed the suspects. I've processed the crime scene. I processed the suspects in the prisoner conveyance in the rooms and what have you, as well as finishing up in the prosecutor offices in the courtrooms and what have you. So these less active markets somewhat becomes attractive to the 10 to 18 year gap. I just want to coast at this point. My rah-rah days are kind of moving, you know, and behind me at this point. Please go to the next. One more. And this real quick, this is just a couple quick pictures. You see, that's the flooding. We had tons of technology that actually we lost through the flooding, but we're out there. We're in there. We're in the water. Tasers were malfunctioning, not our weapons, but specifically tasers, body cameras. These are body camera footages that you can see with the one on the left. And then the others are coffee with the cops. Of course, those are some of the more active programs that we do. Thank you, Drew. More coffee with the cop. You see to your right is an active intruder training. We're very encompassing with active intruder training. We're very encompassing with all safety. We've already completed the course room up here, actually, in the council chambers for our city employees. That's already been accomplished early October, maybe it may even been late September, early October. Now we actually have a practical set up for all of our University City Police Department employees where we'll be up here in the weekend hours, specifically doing training, not damaging anything. I know I want to make sure that I'm clear on that, but we will have protocols in place that we put practical scenarios through all of our employees. We're working even with the facility staff, Troy Whitley and his crew, to involve them, see something, say something, situational awareness. If you see someone ducking, then all of these are going to be incorporated into scenarios that includes completing each floor sweeps, if you may have, is sweeps to make sure that our bad actor didn't have a fellow bad actor or there's more than one, as well as there's someone hiding in certain areas. So this will be the first time that we had it actually in City Hall. We've been in all of the schools. And when I say all of the schools, mainly the public schools, the high school, we did the old tour prep prior to it being demolished. That's actually the tour prep, I believe. If there's not, then that will be, we've been Brittany Woods. So we do this every year. And if we miss a year, we make sure we double back on that right away. Next one. All right. What I can tell you is that the job officer for police officer here in the St. Louis metropolitan area in the greater St. Louis is plentiful. There's a lot of jobs, even in the small markets. There's ads out there. Desperate police agencies struggle to find these officers. Literally, I say this literally, that yes, we pay more than a lot of our surrounding communities. So specifically, whether we're just taking officers because they have a commission status, that's not going to give you your quality employee that you're looking for that fits into this community. Oh, that's going to have that community engagement component within their mechanism, because they're not practicing that in their current status. They've ended up in a job or two for a reason. So yes, could we pluck away from smaller departments? We could. But specifically, is it the right fit for University City? We're looking for that quality component. Next. All right. recruitment and retention. A lot of modernized recruitment, many of the word of mouth from these men and women that you see working and you see in uniform, they know who they want to work alongside with. They reach out as well as they can, and they know who they don't want to work alongside with. Some even out of the academies. Let's take the four for Eastern Missouri Law Enforcement Academy. They only referred one candidate in their current class. That tells you a lot about the composure that they have and the level of intellect of who they would like to work with, because they're specifically not seeing what they need to see in order to be successful here in our community. And that's in some person, and that's in some aspects. Now, do we get plentiful recommendations and recruitment? Yes, and it's helped that we've gone online, we've gone virtual. We have ucitymo.org. Application can be placed at any time. We deal with a couple vendors, Applicant Pro, maybe called iSolve now, but specifically, we look at these applications on a daily basis. I actually have it open for all of my commanders on up to grade and rank the personnel that are putting in these applications, in these resumes. Some are just submitting resumes, and they're coming from a lot of different open source companies. Invest in officer wellness. I want to skip down to this because I can tell you that is something that we do have. We have three chaplains currently working, looking at even another. Ms. Novak's husband is one of our chaplains for the Jewish community, and we actively utilize him. Retired Captain Carol Jackson, very active member of the community, still in church right here. We just had a very successful Faith in Blue campaign. Faith in Blue was an entire weekend that passed a couple weeks ago. Directive as well as the community engagement that was involved was very well met. I mean, we went to every entity. We did chit-chatting, talking, and conversing about what's the issues that they're facing, regardless of what side of town. I want to say almost 30 organizations or 30 institutions, so overall. We utilize civilian staff, and I'll speak on that a little bit more. We actually are up to now four volunteers in police services. We started with none. So literally 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we started with zero volunteers from that. We get this staff and we get these volunteers from our Citizens Police Academy. We try to put on a Citizens Police Academy at least twice a year, but specifically, there's at least going to be one a year. And with that, that's one of the major requirements to being into our volunteers and police services. Our chaplains are our volunteers as well. These are all components that we have a lot of organizations reaching out to us for internships. Free internships. They're not looking for pay. They're just looking for the vetting to come into a criminal justice organization and see what it's like behind the scenes. They're not asking to get out on the street or anything. They want to see what the processing is. They want to see how we handle sunshine requests. They want to see how we handle some of these surveillance techniques that we utilize. Go ahead, move to the next. Valuable volunteers. If you could, that's Chaplain Alverta Smith. I could have put a lot more pictures in here, but I could tell you, her husband owns an optical business here in our town for many, many decades, and they're very active, just as Carol Jackson is, as well as Rabbi Novak. On the left, two new additions, and we may have one soon. Mr. Richard Harris is the last addition, but specifically his son, who is also in that Citizens Academy graduation, is now petitioning to be a volunteer in police service. They're handling a lot behind the scenes. I mean, even if it comes to fingerprint processing, the cards or report processing for non-confidential type of documents and what have you. But they also receive the true vetting that goes into it to be an employee of a law enforcement organization. a civilian law enforcement. So it's not just you're given this role. You actually have to go through the same protocols as a paid employee, just about. Next one. As you can see, currently we're allotted for 79 officers. Currently we're at 74. So when we say, when I mentioned some of the approximations of the deficits, now that teeters up and down. You heard me mention how many new employees, new officers we get on a regular basis. So as easy as one may leave for another state. I actually had one recently leave to go up to Pennsylvania, not to work in law enforcement though. They're relocating their family. And that is that particular employee I'll just speak on. It literally was a paramedic, was a medical service profession, and came over into our profession by way of us sowing the seed, investing into his law enforcement. And we did, and definitely fulfilled any employment agreements and what have you for the community. All the way down to, one more time, the full-time dispatchers, we're allowed it for 12. We're at 10 currently. Five part-time dispatchers that help fill that up. A lot of our, and when I say a lot, several of our officers started off as dispatchers. So they've been on both sides of the radio. They've been on both sides of that communication piece. They understand the ins and outs and the workings of the law enforcement organization. Clerks, admins, all play a valuable part with us. As you can see, the two parking controllers, actually one is part-time, one is full-time. We're making it do, and we don't have the parking enforcement staff that Clayton has. We know that. So we attack it with a different approach. We attack it with the layered approach with the officers, with the police trainees that are waiting to go to a law enforcement academy. They're all code compliance. We actually get very good code compliance enforcement as well from a retired sergeant that is now in that aspect and another code compliance. So we're definitely filling the hat and making the pieces work. Next one, Charles. You can skip that over. This is just a roster, and I took those out just for that part, but it's just a roster indicating of the positions that we were speaking on. And there was a typo in there, which is why I tried to update it. Go ahead, take that. Now we'll get into the criminal stats. Let's speak on the crime stats. All right. For the crime stats, I went all the way back to 2016. In many of the updates that I give, I try to give you a three-year picture. I try to give you a three-year look at what we're facing. So not just 1 year to the next year. But yes, overall, we're down quite a bit in these serious crimes. And you see the serious crimes I'm speaking of. Homicides, rape, robbery, aggravated assault, burglary, larcenies, motor vehicle theft, which are called auto thefts. Carjackings fall into that as well as a robbery. Arson, all still are calculated at a higher, and what I mean at a greater reach of what its impact is comparative to a Snicker being stolen out of Snooks. We don't want that neither, excuse me, but it's not reaching the level of these high impact crimes. And this is what we're not only focusing on, but specifically, even if I break into a car, that can be a larceny. Those property damage vandalisms will make into this list. So if you see the difference of the year to year, and yes, was there a rise specifically during our COVID years? We saw a tremendous rise in assaults. We saw a tremendous rise in disturbances, domestic disturbances, all of such, as well as I think Mr. Rose highlighted recently in the city manager report, we're anticipating any changes in attitudes when it comes to retail theft, when it comes to engagement with employees at these retail shops. So yes, we're taking a very proactive approach on day-to-day enforcement of that. Overall, flip over one more time. Sorry. from 2016 to 2014, in all of those areas, there was a 58.28% decrease in that crime. So specifically since 2016, which I became the chief midway of 2016, and literally to the current date of 2024. And I'm only saying 2024 because I do anticipate another decrease for 2025. I know we're down to our last couple months, and that will probably just add us a few more percentages on that. You're also getting the monthly reports that kind of keep you up to speed on the areas of concerns that covers a lot of these crimes that we're speaking of. Next one. Takeaways: consistent public safety strategies done right, defining community values. So we listen to the community. It's not just the focus group we listen to. I have my commanders, my supervisors listen to the study sessions, listen to the council meetings. So even though you see the chief or you don't see the chief, we're still tuned in, even if we don't have anything on the agenda. We're paying attention to the issues at hand, as well as there's liaisons on many of these committees, i.e. the traffic commission is very, very important for us. Community engagement at every level sets tone for our collaboration, not just community engagement. It's oftentimes where I may encounter a complainant in our lobby. I speak with that complainant and I make sure I address their needs at that particular time. If I'm walking through that lobby, I don't wait on the supervisor from the street to come in. I'll make contact with them. Be right, do right, look right. Quality employees are the target, quality over quantity. Let me flip that over so I can get to it. Major crimes are tracked, like I said, like I mentioned, of those. And within that, regional trends often are addressed collaboratively. So when you hear that, I sit on the board actually with Clayton's chief, Richmond Heights chief. I sit on the board with Ladue's chief. I sit on the boards with Creve Coeur chief. So we know what's facing us in our region and what's coming that way and how we need to impact it. There's a monthly meeting. I'm an executive board member for the St. Louis Area Police Chiefs of Association. So that is something that I take with great esteem because I had to be voted into that. So they understand the commitment that University City as a community and organization is bringing, maintaining effective policies and training procedures. We make sure we're going through just the last I want to say, and I'll be opening up for anything you need. We're going through an reaccreditation process right now. This will be my third one as the chief and Missouri Police Chiefs Association. We think we're going to successfully vet this one as well, and have another successful oversight and assessments of our policies, our proofs and practices, along with all the regulations that coincide with their standards to get that accreditation level. And that's all I have.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Chief Hampton. And I appreciate the presentation and the information. Does anyone have any questions? And I see Councilmember Clay, you're up first. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, and thank you, Chief Hampton, for your presentation. I want to begin my remarks by saying, in my almost 8 years on the council, I have received nothing but favorable commentary about the police and in their interactions with citizens. I think we're very fortunate to have a police force that has not suffered some of the challenges that other departments have challenged as it relates to community, especially communities of color. So I'm really thankful to you and your team for that. Did have a couple of questions. Coordination with WashU, we know despite some of the other things happening or not happening with WashU, it sounds like there has been a robust relationship, at least from a public safety perspective. Is that a fair assessment? And what do you see are any challenges or enhancements that would make the relationship with WashU even better?
And thank you, Councilmember Clay. I can tell you we have a very active relationship with them. Just recently I was on a thread not only with Chief Koontz but Ms. Schooler, and I can tell you we were very aware of the potential protest just a few days ago. So specifically that collaboration, and that's a one-on-one thread, and that's not all the police chiefs in the other areas or what have you. They're getting more collaboration from University City, and we're getting more collaboration from Washington University than I can say that some other entities. And when I say other entities, maybe like the Metropolitan Police Department, that I don't really think they're getting that same type of collaboration. But with University City, yes, it's a very active. We actually have a lot of personnel that is currently on Washington University Police Department staff, quite a bit personnel. I would definitely say upwards of over 10 to 20%.
Oh, okay.
10 to 20%, and these are retired personnel from our organization, but they're currently active in Washington Police Department, Washington University.
Okay.
Police
Department. Okay, thank you. A couple more things. Code compliance. You mentioned, I believe the slide articulated two code compliance officers. Where does code compliance end from a community development perspective, and where does the police code compliance begin?
That's a good question. Go ahead, Mr. Roy.
Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, Councilmember Clay, the divisions for code compliance and code enforcement, which eventually I am hopeful will merge again. Code compliance, which is up under the police department, focuses on environmental issues. So anything that is outside of the home, weeds, grass, anything that is considered attached to the home or in the home is code enforcement, which operates up under planning and zoning. So those are the demarcations for both of those divisions.
Okay, so if I'm explaining it to a resident, is it fair to say outside is enforcement, inside is compliance?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Totally agree.
Okay. And the final thing is, I know under your tenure, the council's been asked to invest more in technology. As I mentioned before, I think our human officer capabilities are top notch. I have wondered at times about the efficacy of the technology. I know that this is just more of a general update, but I think between you and the city manager, I would love to get a better understanding of how the technology is supporting law enforcement practices. We've had conversation about ShotSpotter in the past, the drone program. I understand intellectually the capability, but how is that really playing out? Those are things I'd love to understand in some more depth, because we know there's a cost associated with that technology, and I'm certainly not doubting its value, but I just want to understand it more so I can articulate it to our constituents who may, you know, want to know more about it.
Yes, sir.
Chief, just real briefly, before the chief responds to that question, Mayor Pro Tem, council members, one of the things that I think is important to recognize with our police chief and his officers is a real focus on quality. I'm often asked whether we could fill all of the police officer positions that are vacant. And I always respond, we certainly could, but we cannot fill those police officers' positions that are currently vacant with quality people. That is much harder work. So what Chief Hampton and I have talked about for 8 years now is that a simple refusal to lower our standards, because the progress that you've recognized in the police department is a result of his leadership and the quality of the individuals that report to him. So I just wanted to make sure that was clear, that in no way is our intention to lower our standards in order to fill positions. So Chief, I'll turn it back to you to respond.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Ross. I can tell you the technology is out there. Of course, it's costly, but we have a quite very delicate investments of our technologies. Let's take the gunshot detection mixed in with the surveillance of that. We successfully negotiated behind the scenes to get us a whole extra year. So that does not, another payment is not even required for that technology that we have in place through the end of 2026. And that negotiation was because we wanted to make sure that it was properly being used the proper way and working with those vendors to say, okay, this we're not satisfied to that level. So we hold them to the same standards that we hold ourselves accountable to. And that resulted, yes, sir, that resulted in that technology. We have other technologies that are going to be introduced within the very near future. Specifically, there's technology with robot technologies out here, robot technologies that possibly can, because of the services that it requires, can be introduced into our commercial districts. Not so much into our park industry or park districts or into our residential areas, but into our commercial districts and eyeing the Del Mar Loop and eyeing the Olive Market Street business districts with that type of technology.
Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, council members, I just wanted to add on to what Chief has indicated. What we're looking at doing is identifying technology that can augment the officers that we have. If our focus is on ensuring that we continue to hire and promote quality individuals, there's a limited pool out there because everyone is trying to pick from that pool. So we must focus more on how do we use technology in order to support the limited staff, I would say, that we have.
Okay, Mr. Fuller.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Chief, I just want to compliment the whole crew. I was one of the first classes after COVID, and I would encourage everybody to attend the Citizens Police Academy. Great eye-opener. Great education. Thank you. That's a great program.
Thank you, Councilmember Fuller. Appreciate you.
Anyone else? And Councilmember Fuller, your light is on, so you left your light on. Okay. Very quickly, and again, Chief, I absolutely appreciate you and have said that before. I do have one quick question before we let you go and we move on, and that is you mentioned our Southside neighbors, but just very quickly, and what I wanted to say is, how are we collaborating with our Northside neighbors? And what I mean by that is Wellston, Pagedale, Overland, even to the extent of Olivet. But you know, we have some neighbors there, and I just wanted to know what our relationship is in that regard. Thank you.
Those neighbors are all inclusive in these regional associations that we have, whether that's SLAPCA, whether that's MRT, whatever the case is, that they're also included in that personnel. Chief Huckleberry over at Pagedale, Chief Buchanan, North County Co-op, all the Chief Mackey, Overland, all have we collaborate on a regular basis. Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. That's good to know. And very important to know, and especially because I am a third ward city councilman, and you understand why that's important to us. If there be no other questions for the chief, again, Chief, thank you. A great presentation, and again, appreciate you always. We are going to adjourn the study session, and we'll start the council meeting at 6:30. Thank you.
Thank you.